Here's a stat that might surprise you. Over 60% of mid-sized businesses say limited budget is their biggest barrier to growing their online presence. But the truth? You don't need a Fortune 500 company and resources to compete online. You just need the right strategy. Today's guest knows exactly how to help companies punch above their weight digitally. With deep experience across SEO, paid media, website optimization, and B2B marketing, Raul helps mid-market brands grow efficiently with smart, scalable tactics to break the bank. I'm your host, Chelsea Alves, and I'm thrilled to welcome Raul to the podcast today.
I'm happy to be here, Chelsea. Thanks.
Thanks. Yeah, welcome, Raul. You've worked with companies of all sizes, but mid-market seems to be your sweet spot, from what I understand. What drew you to helping this segment to grow online?
Well, kind of, I had been for many years working at larger agencies, and with Fortune 500 brands. And well, it came to a certain point, I didn't want to work in agencies anymore. I just got really tired of that life, but I still liked helping clients. And I saw an opportunity for these mid-market companies that needed, like, they couldn't afford an agency, right? And but I had that agency experience, so I thought, I can help them. And I actually prefer working with them than the bigger brands, because you're working usually with the owner or the C-suite directly on their whole business, not just some campaign. And also, frankly, I get to choose who I work with. So, in your agency, you're assigned whoever you're with, and you're at their beck and call. Whereas as a consultancy, I can choose who I work with, and it's usually more interesting work. Because you're helping them build their whole brand, their presence. They're learning from you as well. So, and it's often, they haven't done this before a lot of the time, or they had a bad experience. So, it's more of a challenge, and yeah, it's just more interesting.
Yeah, that all makes a ton of sense. Can you tell us about a time when you helped a mid-market company achieve strong digital results with a limited budget? I know some of the mid-market companies don't have a huge budget for like marketing specifically. So how have you helped them achieve results, if they don't have the fun, like a ton of funds to do so?
It's really, it's not one size fits all. So usually, well, first you do an audit and analysis of the business a little bit, but then you find what's really going to move the needle for them. It's not, you don't have to come in with a whole package of a million things. So if they have a limited budget, you focus on that specific area. So some time ago, we worked with an industry I never knew about before I started this that engagement, but it was a recycling metals company. So, and they had a small budget, but like if you type their name in Google, it wouldn't even come up. That's how like off the radar they were.
Oh, wow.
But the good thing was we saw that their competitors were also not much better. So all we needed to do was build them a great optimized website. And they didn't need to do, I mean, a little bit of PR and some press releases, but they really didn't need to do much more, because just having a good website was like putting them so ahead of their competitors. Another case might be I worked with a university, and they had all the infrastructure, but they needed new enrollment. So in their case, they already had a good landing page. They already had this thing. So, just strictly target focused paid media was enough for them. You don't have to, do everything. You suggest it that if you can, you could do this, but what we really think is you should do this. So I try to look at each company and what's best for them. What's going to move the needle for them the most.
I want to continue this conversation kind of around cost-effective digital growth. What are some of the lowest effort yet highest impact things mid-market companies can do to improve their online visibility?
Yeah, well, I mean, having a good site is organic traffic, so that's basically free traffic once you've done it. Creating, outputting content, if they can engage in or hire somebody, engaging in social, especially in the B2B, LinkedIn. So, that's just having that activity just exposes them and have engage with who their client base would be. So that's already going to help them show up. Paid is, good, it's extra, but really, I mean, that's the lowest hanging fruit really for them. I mean, it's just organic, doesn't cost anything. Set it up. You have to refresh content, of course, to keep it up there. But you do a blog every few weeks or an article. Also, they can appear on, if they can get on podcasts, for example, this kind of thing. That drives traffic. So that's kind of the easiest thing. I mean, like LinkedIn ads are, they're pretty expensive, and the effectiveness for them probably isn't worth the money. It better just be engaging on LinkedIn from the personal page, not the corporate page, because no one really goes to corporate pages.
Yeah, no, that's good advice because I feel like a lot of businesses allocate their resources toward the company page rather than personal pages.
Yeah, I mean, people don't follow, like, corporate. Okay, post something once in a while, but certainly don't post from there if you're engaging with people. People are interested in people,
Yep.
and they want their perspective. So if you
Absolutely.
want to be, be a thought leader, you're not going to post from your corporate page. You're going to post from your, especially for the owner of a mid-sized company. He's looked at as a thought leader and engages and does news a newsletter and decent posts. He's going to get recognition.
Yeah, definitely. When budgets are tight, how do you help companies prioritize between different marketing tactics like SEO, paid content? Like which areas would you recommend they focus on first or prioritize first?
Yeah, no one ever cut their marketing budget to profit in a business, but usually it's what we just go through line items, and figure out what this will give you, what each thing will give them, what they can afford, and just do an analysis of what's going to get the most bang for your buck, essentially, and then table the rest for future growth.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and it's going to vary by company. So yeah, it's probably not just like a blanket answer of
No.
focus on this and it will work for you.
Yeah, I'm not a, like a Chinese menu where you just pick this. It's yeah, for me, each company's different. And they have, internally also how they're operating internally has a lot to do with how they're going to face on the outside. So I really like to, that's why I like the midsize, area, because you get to know what's really going on and really customize for them.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of mid-sized businesses, from what I've seen, hesitate to invest in their website, even though that's kind of their digital storefront. What are some simple, affordable website improvements that can drive real results?
Well, depending on how backwards they are, but I mean, it's really, yeah, just the structure of the website. Well, obviously having good metadata and SEO, which is not that difficult. And then the structure of the site, having dedicated pages to each product or area, or service. You don't want to duplicate pages. You want to have just, and also just write, don't overcomplicate it. I mean, that's a lot of one of the big things of these sites. Just people scan, right? So they're probably just going to look at the headlines, the H2 tags or H3 tags maybe, it's rare that they're going to read all your, you know, they don't want to hear all that. They just want to get to the point, look professional, and have, yeah, as I said, dedicated pages, because Google doesn't like duplicate content, but you know, it just ranks better. And then in rankings, you have, you know, each page will get its own snippet or listing.
Yeah, I think that's a good point of, you know, avoiding making it too overly complicated on the homepage. Like you said, a lot of people have short attention spans and they want to see the main points right away and not spend time having to dig through information to find what you sell or what you do.
Yeah, I mean, no one's going to, you know, download our 30-page PDF.
Yeah.
I mean, no one does that anymore. But I mean, still, you know, and also write for your audience. Don't just write brand copy, because no one really wants that, especially with the, you know, the chat, the LLMs and Perplexity and all that. I mean, it's going to pull snippets out. So you have to, you know, have solid, straightforward, simple language. Don't overcomplicate it.
Yep, absolutely. I know you touched on this a little bit earlier, but what role does organic social play for mid-market brands? Like, is it worth investing time into that?
Yeah, because that's how people are going to find you, and that's permanent. An ad, you know, you do a paid media, once you turn it off, the funnel's gone. I mean, with organic, it's just, it's forever, you know, and you can tweak it, you adjust it a little bit every month. You know, you should go in every month and just see what's changed. You know, there are certain industry, I mean, depends on what industry, but, you know, buzzwords, what's popular. So, you know, check what keywords are trending, what phrases are trending, what people are asking, and then incorporate that and just, you know, tweak it a little bit. But you know, that's what's going to get you there. And again, you know, have nice, good little snippets of what that answers a question that someone might be asking. So it's you know, that, and that's, yeah, and that's free. You just have to go in and once it's up, you know, it takes a little bit management. I mean, it depends on how fast that industry is changing and growing. But you know, unless it's fast fashion or something, it's, you know, you're pretty solid. Make, yeah. And, you know, evergreen content, you know, is, if you can do that.
Yeah, that's good advice. And I feel like it's a relatively easy lift when compared to other marketing endeavors that are take a little bit more, you know, brain power and
analysis. Yeah, paid media is expensive, you know, and it a lot of the time I had a company once that was I was working with a perfume brand, and they were trying to enter the US market, French perfume brand trying to enter the US market. And they said, want to do paid media campaign. And I said, what's your budget? Well, first I told them what it would cost to have an impact. And they said, oh, that's way above our budget. What's our budget? And I said, I told them, look, I'm not going to do this. I mean, don't do this, because it's not going to impact, no one's going to find you, especially perfume, which is highly competitive. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't do a national campaign for an unknown US, I mean, in the US brand. So in the end, I told them, look, let's, you know, localize, I'm in New York. And I said, you know, just get your product on a few top shelves and some great in this market, and then grow out from there.
I know you're a big believer in data, and data is obviously paramount to assess, you know, marketing performance. What's your go-to, you know, tech stack or, you know, toolkit for teams looking to track performance?
Well, obviously, Google Analytics, Ahrefs, SEMrush. You know, those are the basic ones, but Google Console also tells you a lot. Some, you know, but some businesses don't even need all that. You know, it's, I mean, that's what I do when I'm looking at a client or working with a client. But, you know, if they're doing them, you know, if they're for them to check, they don't really need that. I mean, Google Console tell you a lot. actually, what I do sometimes is go to the LLMs and ask them stuff that this what com- the company should be showing up in, or you know, tell me the five best companies that do X. You know, and if they're not showing up, tell me more. Well, have you heard of this company? You know, if, depending on how long it takes them to find that company, that's an indication.
Yeah, no, and they're usually pretty accurate, which is, they're just getting smarter and smarter.
Yeah, I mean, from, in my own use, I don't go to Google. I rarely go to Google at all anymore.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear. I mean, yeah, I feel like that's kind of the way search is turning, though. A lot of more people are turning to AI rather than, you know, traditional search engines like Google or Bing.
Well, look, I mean, Google had, they had a lower market share. I mean, it's still like 90, whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, for the first time in like 20 years, they like lost market share. Of course, they're fighting back, and I'm sure they'll come up with something. But, it's interesting. So, I mean, people are changing, you know, because you know, just one click answers, they're not leaving the, you know, Google's now done doing better at having, you know, one click solutions, not having to even leave the page, which is also why your website needs that good content, because sometimes they don't even go there. It just pulls content from your website.
Yeah. Yeah. The AI overviews have really kind of taken over and are stealing a lot of clicks because people are finding their informational needs right away in the search results rather than having to click through to a company website and, you know, search for the information they're seeking there.
Right. And, you know, and they'll see that snippet or that overview and, oh, that's interesting. And then they might click on that and take you over.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on the, you know, if you're selling a product, that's more B2C, I guess. Yeah, it's a good lead-in. You know, it's definitely a way to get people to your site.
Definitely. I also have to throw out Unmiss. They do have a website audit tool that pulls in a lot of Google Search Council data and helps you really analyze the performance of your website and areas for opportunities. Let's talk a little bit about strategy. How can, you know, there's a lot of growth hacks floating around. What's the difference between a tactic and a long-term growth strategy?
Well, you can't have tactics without a strategy. I mean, so the strategy, you have to have the strategy first. You have to have the strategy first. And then you make the tactics come out of that strategy. You can't just start doing stuff without an overall, like, because you're in a little silo, it doesn't work. I think strategy is pretty basic starting point. Well, of course, knowing what you want to do is the starting point and who you want to reach. But then that strategy, so, you know, do a strategy document, brand beat, communications, whatever strategy, and then out of that strategy are the tactical efforts to bring that strategy about.
Yeah, it's definitely about, you know, analyzing and figuring out what your goals are and what your KPIs are, and then developing and building tactics around that for sure.
Yeah, because during strategy sessions, what you find out what you're doing may not be a right fit, the right audience. You know, you change your strategy. So you have to, you know, if you really have your strategy locked down before you start doing tactical work, because it has to be based on a strategy.
Speaking of strategy, most mid-market companies, they often try and do everything all at once. How do you help clients stay focused and avoid feeling, you know, overwhelmed?
Yeah, well, that's kind of where tactics come in, because you can't do everything all at once, you know, unless you have an outside agency doing all these things for you. But, you know, you have to say, okay, this is what our strategy we've decided. You know, these are your, I guess, goals, timelines, milestones, and you know, so let's just think about this first, you know, like, don't do a paid media campaign that sends you to a website that's terrible. You know, so you have to, you know, for example, so let's fix your website before we do a paid campaign. Let's make sure when they arrive, they're welcome, you know, and then sort of throw out from there, because everything leads in the end. I mean, even with all the AI going on, everything in the end leads to the website. So, you know, that's usually the first thing to focus on. And, you know, and prior to that, you know, just making sure your objectives and you're targeting the right people and you've got a clear message and brand brief, all that stuff set up, and then, you know, the website, and then outreach. And email marketing, I don't know if I mentioned that, I forgot to mention, that's like also key. I mean, that's not that expensive.
Before. Yeah, no, that's a good point. And it's a good way to engage an audience on a broad scale for a minimal cost, like you were saying.
Yeah, so, you know, have a good, you know, landing page where people can sign up for something, give them something for that information, you know, so, a giveaway, a tips, whatever it might be, that, you know, really simple, but, you know, and then you have the email, because if they would let any of these, any platform, you don't own that platform, you know, it's theirs. So whatever happens, I mean, suppose you get thrown off LinkedIn or, you know, something like that, you lose all that. So at least, you know, having your own, the best data you have is your email list.
Absolutely. What's one, I know we're talking about email, but what's one digital channel you think mid-sized companies consistently underutilize, and how should they start leveraging it?
They definitely, well, email marketing. And I mean, LinkedIn is the best platform for a B2B company. Mm-hmm. No, you know, hands down, that's you know, everything else is, you know, if they're going to, you know, depend medium, you know, blogging on putting posts on Medium or Substacks, actually, even, you know, it depends on the business. I have to say it depends on the, I don't want to say one, I mean, LinkedIn for sure, for any B2B, you know, Substacks and Medium and Quora can be, depending on your business, are good areas. And press, you know, press releases are good, getting in articles written about you, getting on podcasts, you know, all that kind of that work, especially for niche businesses. I mean, there are a lot of niche podcasts that are made for those businesses, so that's also a good way, you know, trade stuff, industry stuff that you can get an article and interviewed by. So, you know, some PR in there.
Yeah, I think you bringing up the like Quora and Medium, I think that those are, even for larger companies, sometimes underutilized. So I think that's a really good suggestion. Or even Reddit, I feel like is gaining a lot of traction too right now.
It's amazing. Yeah, I mean, when you ask like Perplexity or ChatGPT, like whenever you like ask social, like most of it's from Reddit. Mm-hmm. Reddit like is it's amazing. But you have to be careful there, because it's just kind of often random, kind of random stuff and unproven stuff. But you know, if you've got a solid, you know, if you can do it in the right way, it's a good, I mean, it's definitely a way to get yourself out there and in the results.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to, for businesses sometimes, to build a community too of, you know, people who are interested in your products or services if you do it the right way.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's, it's all, it's about being there and engaging and not selling. You know, it's just, you know, it's just, yeah, and those platforms are just giving advice, giving opinions, you know, thought leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. And they always, it's always showing up in search results these days. I swear, anytime I ask Google anything, I feel like Reddit is one of the top search results I see for whatever the query is.
When they went public, like yeah, suddenly it was there. Like that, so like Reddit was like sort of like, you know, a geek's kind of place to go. And suddenly now it's, you know, now it's like, yeah, it's amazing how it shows up in the results.
Yeah, yet it's still kind of the Wild West, like you're saying. So definitely people need to, you know, not take everything as a source of truth that they see there.
Yeah, there's a lot of rambling going on in there.
Are there any trends or changes in search or marketing in general that you think mid-market brands should be paying close attention to?
Well, yeah, I mean, like we're talking about before, just all the LLMs, you know, everyone's going to try. I mean, you've got to like figure out your strategy there, you know, to not change your SEO, but adapt for that, so you're attracted on those platforms. Because that, yeah, I mean, I don't even know like if the way the way we look at a Google page now, a search result now, I think it's going to be so different in a few years. I mean, it's going to all be just information like a Perplexity or ChatGPT or Gemini, or you know how the results come in. So you've got to think about that. You've got to. I mean, it's not, you know, it's the same sort of principles as SEO, but it's, you just have to think. You have to just switch it up a little bit for better snippet and think of more what people are asking.
So it's like, I'm gonna ask you, like, how are you coaching your clients right now in terms of AI and you know, appearing in AI overviews and just people, any of your clients that have questions around AI and what they can do to, you know, show up in those searches?
Yeah, I mean, it's how they I mean, I'm not training them so much on AI because I'm sort of explaining how it, you know, you've got to write your stuff differently, you know, a little bit, you know, how to use it, of course, you know, I mean, as a use, you know, it's all the prompt, everything's in the prompt, not in the, like a bad prompt, bad result, you know, so you have to, as a user, you have to learn how to prompt. But that might, you know, I think that, I mean, right now that's a big thing, important thing, you know, multiple prompts but even that probably is going to change so that it just understands whatever you say. You know, I think, you know, that will change as well. I think it's changing. I wouldn't predict anything with what's going on because it's, look where we were a year ago or a year and a half ago. It's like, we're like the internet in 1995 and it's moving faster.
Yeah, no, that's a good analogy. I feel like, yeah, every day there's something new and, you know, a new way of search results displaying, new tactics that people are recommending. So now is like kind of the time to really familiarize yourself with AI and use it frequently to understand how it works and to improve your skill set there, especially for marketers. I feel like it's kind of become crucial to kind of
if you're not, like, I'm doing it, I'm looking at different ones and also all the AI tools, all the graphic, I mean, there's just so much happening, I can't even keep up. I mean, I try to like spend a you know, an hour a day looking at new tools, you know, and they're just, it's amazing. Like, look at an image, look how images, and, you know, creating an image has changed even in 3 months. You know, it's just, it's amazing. It's like, and, you know, just for using and analyzing data, mm-hmm. like I did another company, I did a competitive analysis for them. And I said, you know, so I had an Excel, I was like, I need to make some sort of chart because they're not going to understand this. And that would have taken me a long time before. And now it's like, boom.
Yeah.
Or Gamma for like a presentation or something. It just, it's so, you can do a lot more. And it's, you know, it gives you, and it gives you more time to do other things. You know, I think it's not that it's taking away your job or your work, or you just have other better things you can do. I can spend more time finding clients or working with them, or, you know, I mean, you still have to have, you know, the only thing that's not going to change is you're still going to have, like, have to have a discovery and a deep conversation with your client, what they need. You know, the rest are tools that'll speed it up, but with any engagement, the key thing is the discovery. Make sure they understand their business, testing that as much as possible, testing with their customers, testing with their internal people, their brand messaging, all that. You know, and then, you know, the tools will be there, but that initial concept has to be, and strategy has to be intact.
I think that's such great advice, though. I feel like a lot of people are worried about AI completely displacing human workers, but you're so right in that there's aspects of your job that are going to, in most jobs, that are going to require some sort of human connection or human interaction, and robots or AI can't take the place of that. Like, there's nothing like humans connecting with humans, and that's never going to go away.
No, it takes away the tedious work where you can do more creative work.
Yeah.
Or better, you know.
Yeah, it definitely helps amplify your work for sure.
Yeah.
So, Raul, what's next for you? Are there any fun, you know, projects or resource sources you're working on that our audience should know about?
Still getting different kinds of clients. I can't say what I'm. Something good just came in the, I guess, financial space. I can say that kind of came out of nowhere, so that was exciting. Because I haven't done financial since like 10 years ago. I did some ETF for a new ETF company. We did some. Work, but so that I'm excited about that, and I don't know. I'm just excited. I mean, there's so much happening. It's just, you know, it was the same for so long, and then like AI has just made it like so much more fun and exciting. I mean, you can kind of get lost playing with stuff for ages. I continue to do. You know, I like working with. I like creating bespoke solutions for my clients. I don't ever want to be bigger than I am. Like, that's why I left the agency world. So I'm purposely staying the size. So I can just focus on, you know, a few good clients. I'm just excited about how technology is just going to be moving like crazy for the next, I don't know how long.
Yeah, definitely for the foreseeable future. And congratulations on the new client in financial services. That sounds very exciting.
Yeah.
Well, Raul, this has been such a practical and timely, I feel like, conversation, you know, especially for the marketers and founders out there that work with lean budgets or for mid-market brands. For our listeners, if they're interested in connecting with you further after today's conversation, where is the best place to reach you at?
Probably DM me on LinkedIn. or my, you know, website is Diddesheim Consulting, or it's diddesheim.com. Reaching me on LinkedIn, though, is probably, I'll see it the fastest. And I have a newsletter you can sign up for if you want to. We put out almost every other week. So that's like a lot of, that's just like tips, you know, tips and insights for people written in a way that, you know, that they can understand, that they can employ themselves. So I'd like to, you know, people can stay abreast of what's, what they can do for their business.
Awesome. Yeah. I think That sounds great. I know a lot of people like to get those insights right in their email inbox, so that's amazing that you offer them so frequently.
Yeah. So I do. Yeah, I have a newsletter. I have a LinkedIn newsletter, and then I have also, you know, from our website, our blog. So we have a blog, cool. Which is also goes to Medium and a couple different places, mainly LinkedIn and on our blog. We have a blog on our website.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for joining me today. And for our listeners, if you're trying to grow your company's online presence without overspending, be sure to check out mist.com. We have a free website audit tool. It's a great way to spot quick wins and long-term growth opportunities. This has been the On Mist podcast, and we will see you all next time. Thanks again, Raul, for being here today.
I have On Mist in my Chrome browser, or the extension right there.
Oh, yay. Awesome. Bye, all.
Okay, bye.